this is Neil Funk, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye.
Hello, this is Nick Friedel, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye. Hi, this is Chuck Swirsky, and you're listening to Fred on the Chicago Bullseye.
I'm Bob Love of the Chicago Bulls, and you listen to Freddie.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Chicago Bullseye. We have a special guest today, the great Alex Stanisoff, here to tell us about the Miami Heat. He's a Miami Heat expert. How you doing, brother?
I am amazing. Thank you, Fred. How are you today?
I'm living a dream. Well, actually, I'm not, because my Bulls are 5-10. It's been a massive disappointment. The head coach is basically hitting me with a 2x4 every game with his rotations and timeout sequences. Outside of that, things are just swimming.
But, well, I have to admit, I'm sorry that I'm not as up to speed on what's going on with the Bulls right now. I do follow them because of you primarily. So I kind of know where they are in the Eastern Conference. But beyond that, I know, like, nada. So, but I hope to illuminate and get you up to speed on the Miami Heat.
You don't want to know, Alex. You don't want to know. It's been rough. So I don't want to get into it. Besides Kobe White. Yeah, let's get into the Heat, though. Because I got to tell you, I am shocked. I did not believe, you know, signing Butler, getting rid of Richardson. I thought Richardson was a poor man's Butler. I didn't expect them to be this. And not only were they good with Butler, they're good without him. I think they were undefeated right until he started.
Yeah.
What are the reasons for the your major reasons for this team starting off so strong?
I think Jimmy Butler, you know, the signing of Jimmy Butler and the way he handled himself in preseason made a statement. And the way, you know, the way he did it was he was very low-key, but publicly. Like, he didn't beat his chest and say, this is my town, this is my team. But he apparently reached out behind the scenes to all the players and started creating a bond very early in the offseason. And as a result of that, and I just think a result of the mix of players that we have and the culture, as they like to say in Miami, the chemistry is the reason this team is playing so well. And it's mid-season chemistry. It's the best version of mid-season chemistry. And for some reason, we got it now. Because if you look at the talent on this team, yeah, we got Jimmy Butler, and he's obviously, you know, he's an all-star. But who else do we really have? I mean, there's a bunch of names that you're probably not even that familiar with.
Oh, Bam.
You know, Bam Adebayo. He'd be my number two, but, you know, closely followed by Goran Dragic and, you know, and on and on and on. But I think, again, to specifically answer your question, you know, Spoelstra's a big fan of the positionless basketball, and, you know, you play where you play, and, it, you know, you're not slotted into a position. That's a big part of it, the unselfishness of this team. And Jimmy Butler has left his ego at the door, and so I would say it's an egoless team. And that means that the ball is moving incredibly quickly, very loosely. We're waiting until deep in the shot clock to take the best shot. We've had six different players be the leading scorer in our wins. Okay, we've got seven players averaging double figures. You know, it's that style of basketball that not as talented teams often implement to try to beat the better team, more talented teams, just because it's better basketball. It's better team basketball. In a nutshell, that's what it is.
So, on your level of excitement for this team, one being, you know, I'm not excited, to 10 being pure and excitement about where this team's going to go, where are you at?
Oh, 10.
Really?
Yeah.
And where were you at last year?
I'm not saying they're going to win anything, Fred. Yeah. I'm not saying they're going to even be a top four playoff Eastern Conference, you know, team, which is kind of what people are predicting now. I'm just saying the way this team has come together, you know, the cheap talent, the undrafted talent, the rookies, you know, And the way Riley has put it together, it's just amazing, and it is so fun to watch.
How has the community embraced Butler? Is he popular? Is he kind of viewed at still as like an outside? I don't know how popular Richardson was. I know you were always told me about Richardson and had, you know, pretty rave reviews from what I recall. Was the trade viewed positively, negatively when it first happened?
Yeah, so most people were like, you know, we think we've seen the ceiling of Jay Rich. We love him, but he's probably not getting a whole lot better. And then with Butler, it was sort of an afterthought. I'll be honest with you. In the summer, it was like, oh, did we sign Jimmy Butler finally? Oh, yeah, we did. Oh, great. You know, awesome.
Yeah.
We knew he'd be a great player. We knew he'd fit the style. We knew he was a Heat kind of guy. We knew Dwayne had kind of primed him in his Chicago years and talked about the Heat culture to him. That's come out. So we felt like it was going to work, but we didn't know that. And by the way, I don't know how much of this team's success, like you said, is directly the result of Jimmy Butler's play. I think it's a result of Jimmy Butler being here and the fact that he's a superstar. He's taken, like, you know, very few shots in his first few games.
You're absolutely
right.
He just
distributed the ball.
You brought up a great point. He's third on the team in shot attempts per game right now. Believe it or not, we got Winslow at number one, and Kendrick Nunn is tied with Winslow for the most field goal attempts on the team. Butler's third at 13.1 with Winslow and Nunn at 14.4. Unbelievable when you really think about it. This is Jimmy Butler. That won't last, I can tell you from experience, but you know, Jimmy hasn't really played that great numbers-wise, 42% on the field, 27%.
No. Dude, he was 2 for 14 or something against the Cavs the other night.
Yep.
And he still got 22 points or 21 points because he made 13 of 13 free throws. You know, set the tone on defense. So nobody cared. No, he was interviewed coming out of a game, it's funny, about 2 weeks ago. And they were like, hey, dude, you're not shooting the ball. What's going on? He's like, hey, everywhere I've been, when I shot the ball, we lost. I'm done with that.
Oh, my gosh. I got to see that interview because, you know, my viewpoint on Jimmy Butler, I was 100% behind the kid for the longest time. I believed in the 2016-17 Bulls. As you know, when Wade showed up, I was incredibly excited about that team. The team's 2-0 on the Celtics, and in Game 3, he provided in the playoffs the worst performance of his career, in my opinion. The worst performance I've ever seen from a superstar. And I was out after that.
I'm going to interrupt you for a second.
Yeah.
That's all true. And I like Jimmy Butler. I've never been like an over-the-moon Jimmy Butler fan. I think he's amazing. But I just, you know, I didn't have a strong opinion one way or the other. But he's not needed. He doesn't need to be that superstar on this team. Now, maybe if we go into the playoffs and go deep, you're going to need that kind of a player, right? But right now, he could just be the guy that he is right now. He's having bad games, quote unquote, you know, on a numbers base, and it doesn't matter. We've got so many people stepping up, and the system is so successful right now that it's sort of like, okay, we're okay with Jimmy not being, you know, the Jimmy Butler that I think most people are used to seeing.
The Heat are 6-0 against the Eastern Conference. They've won 4 in a row. If the Bulls win tonight, this is a legitimate win. We haven't beat a winning team all year.
Yeah.
I want to get a little bit into Kendrick Nunn, who is a guy who went to my alma mater for a little bit of time, and University of Illinois had some off-the-court issues. What a story where he's in the G League for the Warriors team last year. Let's get into him. Is he for real? And what's the ceiling on this kid?
Yeah, I mean, he's for real, and by the way, another nod to Pat Riley, the godfather. He signed him on the last day of the season, got rid of the beloved Rodney Magruder in order to make space, and stole him from the Warriors, all right? So they had their eye on this kid. He was the second leading scorer in college basketball to Trae Young, behind Trae Young, okay, when he was a senior. All right, so he's not a nobody. It's not like he came from nowhere. Is he for real? Yeah. He's got some deficiencies in this game, obviously, but he's got no fear. His expression never changes. He's the guy you want shooting a free throw in clutch time because he just doesn't care. You know, he's not fazed by anything. You know, he's 24 years old. So I'm not sure his ceiling is a whole, you know, rookie level above, you know, these kids that are one and done out of college. He's not one of those kids. But I do think there's a lot of upside. He's already improved, and you can see it. And I would say right now he's more of a natural scorer, like elite-level natural scorer, and less of a distributor playmaker. And I think he needs to work on that. Also, his turnovers are a little out of control, and that's partly because of the system we're playing. It's a lot of passes and quick cuts and moving the ball, you know, one or two or three extra times, so that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I'm a huge fan, and I would say no conversation about Kendrick Nunn is incomplete without talking about Tyler Hero, who also played with him in the G League, and Chris Silva, who played with him in the G League, and Duncan Robinson, who played in the G League last year as well. All four of them are having an impact on this Heat team, and only one of them was drafted.
Justice Winslow, I know, a guy coming out, very high reputation, you know, really nice player for Duke, but has he been a disappointment? What is your take on Justice Winslow at age 23 now, a couple years into the league, several years into the league? Do you feel he's starting to get his stride, or is he kind of more of a limited player in your opinion?
I don't have a good answer for you on that one. I love him. I think he's got great upside. I love his competitiveness. He's an elite defender. Mm-hmm. He's struggled at times with his shooting. I think because he had such high expectations on him, he's suffered a little bit from criticism when he has, down periods. I think his mental game kind of gets to him. I know he's been out for, 5 or 6 games. He didn't travel with the team to Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay. He had a concussion, I think, against Detroit. That's kind of weird that it's going on this long. You know, the big question is what happens when he comes back? That'll answer your question, right? Does he get reinserted in the starting lineup? I don't think so.
Really?
I think we roll with what we have. He'll come off the bench, and he'll be incredibly impactful, and that bench is going to get even better than it already is.
I want to get a look back at the Heat as a whole for the past decade. Obviously, starting the decade off by landing the big LeBron James, obviously Chris Bosh, starting the big trio, the big three, and starting this trend with superstars getting together to win championships. Looking back on the decade, on a scale of 1 to 10, would you rank the accomplishments of the Heat organization based on your expectations on a 1 to 10 scale, with 1 being below expectations, 10 being completely satisfied and actually overachieving on the expectations? Two distinct periods, the LeBron period and the post-LeBron period. Looking back, how would you rank the decade?
So, look, I would have to say, 9.5 to 10. Because anytime you win, you get a player like LeBron, and you get 2 championships, and you go to 4 straight finals, that, benefit of the doubt, that glow, that success, covers a lot of down years, in my opinion. I got to see LeBron, fortunately, a lot of times in person, and the guy was just unbelievable to watch. He bled for us. He left it all on the floor. So I would say it's a 10. I think, there were some missteps along the way after that. It was kind of frustrating, but look, at least we knew Pat Riley was trying. He was trying hard, and then he cleaned him up. I would say Hassan Whiteside was a mistake. He's a great project that we developed, but then to sign him to the max deal, it didn't work out. I think Portland's realizing that right now, unfortunately. I think they got snookered on the trade, but, those mistakes indicate that at least we're trying. So I'm okay with those.
I can't even believe they got Whiteside out of there. It's unbelievable.
It's true. I was shocked when I saw it.
That's what really gets me about Riley and the whole organization there. It's just so darn solid. Even when they make mistakes, and that was a massive mistake, you somehow come out the other end by turning that into a positive and get rid of that stiff. It's unbelievable. Really,
and
is.
It's incredible how quickly. And by the way, back to your original question, that's part of the reason why the team is playing so well, because he was, I think it's maybe harsh, but I think he was toxic to the culture.
Yes, I agree. I agree 100%. How do you look back at Dwayne Wade's career? Is Dwayne Wade viewed compared to LeBron and Bosh? Like, how are each and one of those guys viewed in the Miami community?
All beloved. I think Dwayne is. He wasn't just, an elite, one of the great players of our generation or of maybe all time in the NBA at his position, but he's just a fantastic guy and a representative of our city. So he makes every Miami, kind of South Florida person proud that he's sort of our local guy, even though he's from Chicago.
Yeah.
So he's in a special category, I would say, kind of in that Udonis Haslam sort of, it doesn't matter what he ever does. He's our guy. I would say LeBron was, we kind of had a feeling we were renting him. And again, he played as if he was going to be here forever. He was amazing. I have zero hard feelings about LeBron leaving and about it. It shocked me, as you recall.
Yes.
But it doesn't bother me that he made the decision he made. Because I saw how much he gave us, and I know how much he gave us. And he had every right to kind of make the decision he made. So I think most people now feel something similar. And I would say Chris Bosh, he's just such a great guy. He didn't play for us long enough. Yeah. I love that we retired his jersey. I thought that was super appropriate. I love that he's still around the team. And by the way, he's helping a little bit behind the scenes, kind of on the side. But I have less, connection, I would say, to him. Almost more of a connection to Ray Allen because of Game 6. And he's really put down roots in the community, and he's very active. So, yeah.
So Bosh,
slightly different opinion about each.
Bosch's number's retired. Obviously, Wade's is retired, right? Or is it not?
Not yet.
Oh, my
not
God. Yet. How has that not happened already? It's got to happen this year, I hope. Right?
Well, you know, what if he comes back?
Is there talk about that? It's entirely possible with how close Butler is with him.
He's not going to come back, I don't think. You know, that's my prediction.
Boy, that would be a story. Especially if you guys were, like, in first or second, and he came back, and then you fell to, like, seventh seed. Or sick.
Well, he wouldn't help this team right now.
I agree.
You know, yeah. I think the fact that, you haven't asked me about Deion, you know, but I think the fact that Deion and JJ, James Johnson, aren't playing, and that there's other injuries, frankly, has allowed these young players to flourish, and thank God, because I was just looking at some stats today. You know who leads the NBA in mid-range field goal percentage? Tyler Hero.
You got to be kidding me! He's taking mid-range shots. I'm surprised he's allowed to.
He's like, oh, you've got to look at his stroke tonight. It's one of the most pure basketball shooting strokes I've seen in a long time.
But the Heat seem to be like an advanced team in terms of we're not going to shoot mid-range shots. We're going to shoot threes and like most of the.
They're not into the numbers so much on that. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
No, they're just like take the open shot, move the ball. You know, be creative with it, be unselfish, and then take the best shot you can get.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching this game tonight, and obviously with
Butler. It's going to be fun, and you're right. If the Bulls win, it is a huge win for the Bulls. This Heat team, I'm not making a prediction. They're not fake. It's not. They've dominated. I think they lead the league in margin of victory. They're 15.2 average. Yeah, leads the league in margin of victory. So it's not a fluke.
No, definitely not. I'm really impressed with what they've done, and you can't help but just admire the organization down there and the moves they've made. How has Myers Leonard looked? As an aside, before we get into my last question, has he been brought anything for you guys, or is he?
Oh yes.
Really?
He's been another revelation. He had his first really bad game, I would say, the other night versus Cleveland, but he still made an impact. He's been a huge positive surprise for us. He hustles. He's incredibly effective. He was leading the league in 3-point field goal percentage, but I don't know. He hasn't taken a few now, so maybe he doesn't qualify anymore, but literally he was at 64% or something.
He's
like
at 61%. I just fell out of my chair when you said this. I looked it up. He's 13-21 from three, 61.9%. I don't even know what to say. I can't believe this. He went to my alma mater, so I've always had harbored a little bit of resentment because I never thought he lived up to his ability. But my gosh, you know, remember last year against Golden State, he had an incredible playoff game from three, and he's shooting 61%. What can you say? I mean, what can you say? Incredible.
It's a gift. He was the throw-in with getting rid of Whiteside. Yeah. And we got a great guy. Like, he seems like a phenomenal great guy who I hope we can find a way to hang on to.
Yeah, he's only 27. So, to wrap it up, last question. The Heat are currently the third seed behind the Bucks and Celtics. I think they're better than the Celtics. I feel that way. I don't think they're better than the Bucks, and I don't think they're better than the Sixers. I still think once the Sixers get their head out of their end, they're going to be the best team in the Eastern Conference. But that said, you feel, A, this is a playoff team. I assume you do feel that way.
Yes.
Do you feel – how far do you think they can go? Are they better – name the teams that you feel that they're not better than in the East.
I would agree with your analysis. I think they're better than the Celtics. I think that